Greetings, all. It is truly my honor to once more stand before the people of God, to be able to worship our God through song, through remembrance of his son's sacrifice, and also by sharing of the portion of our God when we've already shared of ourselves. Before I get into our morning prayer, I want to make an announcement. Brother Joe Gomez was letting me know that our brother John Mitchell had a procedure. He had an operation, but everything came out well, and he's at home recovering. So let's remember him in our prayers as he continues to recover. And of course, any phone calls or messages of encouragement are always welcome to our brethren. So if you will, please go with me in a word of prayer, and then we will open our Bibles to see our lesson this morning. Please bow with me. Precious God and Heavenly Father, Once more we prostrate before thy holy feet to give thee all honor, to give thee all glory. We thank you, Father, for we know that we have this great privilege and this great honor to be here this morning. Father, we thank you for the life and for the health that we have and for the opportunity that we have, Father, to assemble as thy saints, to come together in fellowship, Father, through thy holy word, to be able to enjoy that which is both good and pleasant. Father, we thank you for all those men who participated in our service this morning. Bless each and every one of them, Father, and even those who perhaps are not here up front serving, Father, but were behind the scenes serving as well. Thank you for all of their diligence, for all of their love, and please, Lord, be with each and every one of them. For our sisters, Lord, who as well helped participate either by teaching our children or by helping set up or prepare, Father, in any way, bless them as well, Lord. And again, thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we have to once more continue to serve in thy holy temple. Forgive us, Father, for the sins that we have committed, and allow this thy servant, Father, to bring to memory what I've been able to learn from thy holy word. Father, as we pray this in the glorious and mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. In John chapter 1, verse 29, the Bible tells us that when John saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now here clearly we see that God was providing for himself a lamb, as we heard Abraham say when Isaac inquired about where is the sacrifice. That same lamb that Abraham told Isaac that God would be providing for himself as a sacrifice is later brought back up on the day of Passover in Exodus chapter 12. And there we see that God gives the instructions to Moses as to what they were going to do with this lamb and the purpose that it would serve. It would later be known as the Passover lamb, and it would be to celebrate how God had passed over the houses of the Israelites, upon whose doors and lintels the blood of that lamb had been posted. You see, brethren, when John says these words, when John points to Jesus and refers to him as the Lamb of God, we see that what Moses is remembering is what God was about to do in accordance to what Abraham had said several centuries before him. And thus we see that this very innocent and loving animal that is used by God shadows without a doubt the Lamb that God would be providing. But we have to remember that the Paschal Lamb or the Passover Lamb was not just any lamb. It was not just a lamb or random lamb that they would have to get, but there were certain specifications as to why God chose this animal. If you will, turn with me to the book of Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12, we see God give Moses some commandments in regards to this. And pay attention to the fact that what we're about to read shows the connection that John the Immerser is making, because remember that the purpose of the Lamb, God's Lamb, was to take the sins of the world away. Here in Exodus chapter 12, beginning at verse 3, God speaking to Moses, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You see, brethren, when you've heard and if you pray diligently, if you are listening intently to those brothers who are up here, those holy men who are leading prayer, there's one among us that when he prays, he always thanks God for sending heaven's best. Every time that he prays and he refers to our Lord and Savior, he refers to him as the best that God had to offer. Notice how this brother is no doubt thinking about this passage here. Because when we read this in verse 5, notice that the lamb had to be without blemish. In Malachi chapter 1, God asked a question about if they would be willing to give their governors any animal that was blind or lame or hurt or diseased in any way. You see, brethren, the lamb was going to be without blemish because it shows us how Jesus would live a life free of sin. How Jesus, as we see there in the book of Hebrews, was going to be greater than the sacrifice of bulls and goats, because not only was he innocent, but Jesus, with his own righteousness and in his own reason, chose to deliver himself for our sins. You see, Jesus gave himself over to be sacrificed so that he could take away the sins of the world, as John proclaimed that he would. You keep reading with me here in Exodus chapter 12. Pay attention. Drop down verses 12 through 13. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. See, brethren, this lamb that was being offered, it was being slaughtered or it was being slain so that the children of Israel would have access to its blood. And the reason they had access to its blood is so that they can put it on the posts and on their doorposts and their lintels so that they would not be suffering the punishment of sin. See, brethren, the Egyptians and those Israelites who disobeyed, who chose not to put the blood on their doorposts, who did not choose the best lamb that they had, they suffered the death of their firstborn. John tells us, "Behold the Lamb of God who has been sent to take away the sins of the world." As Brother Adam read during the commemoration of our Lord's death, there in John 19, verse 32 through 34, pay attention to the fact that like the lamb, Jesus' bones were not broken because he was to be a lamb without blemish. Not only were his bones not broken, he died on the cross so that the blood could be accessed, the blood that redeems us from our sins. You see, friends, Jesus is the Lamb of God. And Jesus is the best that God had to offer us. It was his most cherished possession. We see that God chose from all that he had, and as we read in Hebrews chapter 1 and in Hebrews chapter 2, not even the angels were as good as Christ himself. The Hebrew writer time and time says, "For which of the angels did God say, 'You are my son, I have begotten you today'?" When our God chose that lamb that would be sacrificed for you and for I, he sent his very best. He sent the one without blemish. He accepted the sacrifice of the one who, even though he knew what it meant to die as a sinner, died without sin. His innocence and his willingness to give himself up, brethren, shows us why he was the best lamb that God offered for your sins and for mine. But there's another reason why this is a shadow of Jesus. Turn with me now to Isaiah chapter 53. You see, all of these passages, as Brother Joe mentioned or alluded to, can be used and read in reference to what we just did when it pertains to the Lord's Supper. But we will see that more tonight. But right now, notice there in Isaiah chapter 53, and we'll begin there at verses 4 through 7. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 7, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Pay attention to verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In ancient literature, brethren, and even today in modern literature, the lamb is the symbol of meekness. The lamb is the symbol of one who is docile. You see, very seldomly will you hear a lamb protest when its shears are removing the wool from its body. Very seldomly will you hear about a lamb kicking or biting its pastor or its shepherd. Turn now with me to Matthew chapter 11 and let's allow the Lord himself to say what we're trying to make connection here. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28-30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, if you have older translations or another translation, it says, for I am meek and humble in heart. This, according to the Greek, is a better translation. You see, our Lord was humble and he was meek. In fact, you recall there in John when Jesus is before Pilate and Pontius Pilate is asking him, are you king? John tells us that Jesus remained silent. When the chief priests and the scribes were trying to ask him questions to trap him, to make him blaspheme or to say that he had blasphemed, the Bible says that Jesus did not speak a word. Now, if we only look at it from the light of the fact that Jesus was trying not to answer his captors, that Jesus was remaining silent, pleading the fifth, if we want to use modern terminology, well, this denigrates what he was actually doing. You see, when the Bible says that he remained quiet, as we see in the prophecy of Isaiah 53:7, this means that he didn't protest to what they were doing. It means that he did not call out their hypocrisy. That he did not speak against what they were doing, but rather Jesus allowed himself to be arrested. He allowed himself to be nailed to the cross, to be spat on, to be scourged. You see the image given of the lamb? That Passover lamb was raised, was cared for, was grounded and was honed and brought up specifically for one reason and one reason only. That Passover lamb was raised so that it could die on our behalf. That Passover lamb was groomed and trained so that he could be turned over to the priests, so that it could shed its blood in compliance with the Levitical law regarding Passover. If you will, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. You know, friends, I prefer to allow God's word to be the one that does the talking. Because there in Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible very clearly shows us what God or Jesus said or did when it was necessary. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 5. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come, and the volume of the book is written of me, to do your will, O God. Why was a body prepared for Jesus? Why was he sent into the world? Why did John the Immerser say, "Behold, the Lamb of God who has come to take the sins away from the world"? Like that lamb, without a blemish, in its vigor, was raised for one purpose and one purpose only, so was Jesus prepared a body to be sent into the world, to live a sinless life, and to live in accordance to all that God had given as a law for one purpose and one purpose only. To give his life as the Passover lamb of the New Testament for you and for me. Like that lamb had no blemish, Jesus lived a perfect life. He was tempted in everything, but without sin, says the same Hebrews writer. He was able to contain his emotions and never overreacted. He was able to measure his words to keep himself spotless and clean and pure, because this is the meaning of without blemish. And the only reason he did this, the sole purpose, was to fulfill the will of his Father, so that his sacrifice would be an acceptable one and that we would have the power to pass over death because of our sins. A body you prepared for me. Can you imagine that? Jesus' body was prepared only so that it can be beaten, scourged, humiliated, and killed. Even more so, for this reason I have come. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 and forward, verses 20 and forward, when Jesus begins to announce his death, do you remember Peter's reaction? After having confessed that he is the Son of the living God, after having confessed that he is indeed the chosen one, the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus begins to announce his death because this was the purpose for which he came. And Peter, says the Bible, begins to reprimand him. The Jews could not fathom the concept that the purpose for their Messiah was to die for the sins of the world, so that in death the Messiah could conquer the devil, so that in death he could lead captivity captive and make men free. But Peter was standing in the way of God's purpose, and Jesus speaks boldly and strongly to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you do not understand the purposes of my Father." You see, brethren, that lamb was raised from a young age. It was groomed. The shepherd would become very, very close to that lamb. But its sole purpose was to be offered as the Passover sacrifice. The reason it was cared for, the reason it was made sure to be kept that entire year without blemish, is so that it could be the acceptable sacrifice that would fulfill the sacrifice of Passover. The 3.5 years that Jesus kept his ministry, the 33 years approximately that he lived in this world, a relatively young life, he kept himself without blemish because he was here for one purpose, and that was to be our Passover lamb. But you see, friends, this shadow of Jesus not only shows how he is heaven's best, this shadow of Jesus does not only show that his objective and his mission for coming to the world was only one, to die on the cross, but we mentioned it earlier. And as our final point, you see, it is the blood of the Lamb that we are required. He came to shed his blood for us so that we could have access to it. Turn with me now to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, notice what the inspired John says, the beloved. John the beloved says, beginning there at verse 4. In fact, let's go up to verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Have you considered the fact that when the Passover was celebrated, those doorposts and those lintels, when they used the blood of the lamb, it had to be that sponge that they were using or whatever material they were using, whether it was reed or hyssop, I do not remember at the time, but it had to be drenched in that blood in order to actually be able to spread it across those posts. They had to be able to spread it across the lintels. That blood, brethren, had to be spread and it had to be able to soak in to those posts and in those lintels. So that when God's angel would arrive, they would see the blood and they would know to pass over that house. The lamb was sacrificed not only so that its blood could be spread, but so that its flesh could be eaten. They had to cook this lamb's flesh. They had to cook it with bitter herbs and unleavened bread. And they could not leave any of it behind. This is why God told them in Exodus chapter 12 that if the lamb was too big for a small house, they were to grab their neighbors and together they were to consume and ingest all of this flesh. It wasn't just the blood that they needed for the posts. They also needed its flesh so that it could be eaten. So that they could remember that on that night, they had been delivered even before they had been delivered. That Passover was a guarantee that God was giving the children of Israel, you will go from being slaves to being kings and priests. When Jesus died on the cross, it was a guarantee that his sacrifice would wash away our sins. It was a guarantee that you and I would go from slaves of sins to heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And it was through that sacrifice, when we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, where not only do we wash away our sins, but our clothes are changed into royal robes, into priestly garments. And as verse 6 tells us, we are made kings and priests. But notice how this happens. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You see, they couldn't kill the Passover lamb and then kill the lame and blind lamb just to get their blood. No, the blood they had to put on the posts, the blood they had to put on the lentils, it had to belong to the Passover lamb that they were feasting on. They could not kill other lambs to have more blood so that they can be able to put it on all their walls. It had to be from the lamb that they had sacrificed in accordance to God's commandment. You see, brethren, redemption is not found in the blood of Buddha. Redemption is not found in the blood of Muhammad. Redemption is not found in the blood of Moses, and it is definitely not found in the blood of Obed. Only the blood of the Lamb, who John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Only the Lamb that was given to this world by God Himself. Only that lamb without blemish, that perfect, holy man, only that lamb who was prepared specifically and exclusively to die for our sins. Only his blood can wash away our sins. Amen. That's the greatest shadow that the Lamb represents to us. Come to me, all of you who are troubled and heavy laden. Notice how Jesus says, and learn from me. And learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly, says our New King James Translation of heart. Christ did not protest when his father answered, yes, you must drink from this chalice. Yes, you must die on that hard cross. Peter overreacted. Leave it to the impetuous Peter, right? Leave it to Peter, who is more, he's more film than movie itself. Immediately took out his sword and revealed to us, had no training in how to use swords. Because he struck the ear when in reality he was very likely trying to strike for another body part. And in Jesus, instead of calling his disciples to arms for him, he commands Peter, sheathe your sword. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me to drink? He is shadowed by the Lamb because the Passover Lamb was the very best Israel had to offer. Because that Passover Lamb was raised specifically so that it could be sacrificed as a Passover sacrifice. Because the blood needed to be accessed, and it is only its blood, the blood of the Passover Lamb, would allow the angel that God sent forth to pass over their houses. But finally, because of the meekness, because as we've read in Isaiah 53:7, it would not protest, but in obedience, it will fulfill its purpose. It is, as Abraham said there in Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, the lamb that God provided for himself for the sacrifice. Friends, the promise that Christ makes is that only in him and only in his blood can your sins be washed away. It is only his blood that you and I can put on the post and the lintels of our hearts, meaning our minds. It is only through him and his teaching, his doctrine, that we have access to that Passover feast. We cannot be baptized in the name of a man and think that it counts like the Lamb of God. You see, the only blood that we are allowed to use is the blood that belongs to the Passover Lamb. That blood that belongs to Christ Jesus, our Lord. The question you may have this morning, friend, is how? How can I have access to that blood? How can I come in contact with that blood? Where do I find it? Well, you see, if you will, turn with me for our final passage to Acts. In Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 36, notice that a similar question was asked to the one that you may not realize you're actually asking. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Pay attention, who has been made Lord in Christ? The same Lamb that was killed. The same Lamb that has been sacrificed, he has been exalted above measure. We learn this Lamb's name to be Jesus the Christ. And it is the blood that he shed which can provide for us the remission of sins. But where do I come in contact with that blood? Baptism. And be baptized. I must first repent, but then I must also obey. I cannot say that I've repented if I continue in defiance. The first fruit of repentance is obedience and compliance. That blood of the Lamb, they needed to first slaughter the Lamb, eat the feast, but then they needed to obey in putting the blood on the post in the lintels of their houses. They could not just celebrate the feast, and they could not just eat the Lamb and roast it as they were and then leave their post and lintels dry. They had to be wet. They had to be drenched in the blood of the Lamb. Friends, you cannot be sprinkled and consider yourself wet. You have to be drenched, soaked, completely covered in the blood of the Lamb. And then when God sees you dressed in the blood of his Lamb, then God will know, this one belongs to my flock. Lest you repent, you would die in your sins, says Luke 13, verse 3 and verse 5. This morning, the blood is accessible for you, friend. Church, perhaps we haven't been celebrating the Passover the way that we should. Perhaps we have forgotten the significance of the Lamb of God and we have taken it as a common meal. And we now know that we need to repent, as they did in the days of King Josiah. After they had found the law and they realized, we have not been celebrating the Passover as God commanded. Perhaps you did not follow that instruction given by Brother Joe when he said, let us examine ourselves. And you're now realizing that for you, you've eaten and drank judgment for yourself. Well, there is still time to repent. There is still time to correct that mistake. You can still, like in the days of the King Josiah, celebrate the Passover as God has commanded it. Therefore, if you need our prayers, or if you need encouragement, or if you, friend, either need to study more to know how to be a Christian, or if you already know and just need to obey, the invitation is now made as we stand and we sing.